Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. This one's going to be fun because the Baltimore Orioles are traveling all the way down to Washington this week for some games against the Nationals. I still get them confused. They are two channels apart on my cable thing, so there is one in between Masson 1 and Masson 2. I always have to figure out, is it Nats tonight, O's tonight, what's going on? This guy's always on the other side watching the Nationals when he's not watching the Capitals and those big Wizards play. Well, they don't really make the playoffs, but he watches the Wizards. He's a college football voter as well as college basketball insider, even on his little cup. I didn't have him on during March Madness. He's down the dial at WTOP. You can also find him out on the website at WTOP and probably at any James Bond convention or forum or Reddit he is a part of. He is Dave Preston, one of our defending champions. Dude, the Orioles playing the Nationals. It happens a couple times a year. It gives me a reason to reach to you. And Ovechkin, Caps, all of this stuff going on. Our baseball team's a little disappointing right now, Dave.
It's not ideal, and I think a lot of people thought that the Orioles would be better because they made the playoffs back-to-back seasons. I think the last time they made the playoffs 3 straight years was 69 through 71. Different era completely as far as postseason qualifications. A
Same
lot of
orange
people,
uniforms, though. You did see
yes,
that? Yes, just so you know. I
they
know what a
got to get.
fashion guy you are, Dave.
I can't tell you how much dye and curtains were killed to make those uniforms. Nationals, I think a lot of people thought that this would be the year that they would go from pretender to contender. Now, you look at the schedule, front loaded, just a tough April. They began the season with Philadelphia. Then they played after a series against Toronto, they played the Dodgers in Arizona. So you in the first four series, you played the last three National League champions. Then this 10-game road trip, which, granted, Pittsburgh, Colorado, Miami, they're no world beaters, but anytime you go on the road this early in the season where you don't have your chemistry set up, you have a lot of moving parts and you don't know exactly how things are going to play out, it's tough to make a long road trip in base, not necessarily three different time zones, but you start in Miami, you go to Pittsburgh, and then you wrap up in Colorado where a game gets snowed out. And they flew back Sunday evening. I think they got back Monday morning at 7 a.m. It's a whatever the red eye is, this flight was one worse than that. And then they come back from this road trip, and then they have two bellwether series, one against the Orioles and the other against the New York Mets, who have Juan Soto and who currently lead the majors in ERA. So this is the fact that they have a losing record at this point, the Nationals. I'm not surprised. I think they're going to make their hay if they do so once the calendar turns to May. But what a tough schedule so far. And just looking up the street to what's going on with the Orioles, you've got the worst bullpen in the majors in Washington, ERA, I think, over 7, and ERA over 6 for the Orioles rotation. So it's one of those things that, it could, what do they say? Something's got to give. No, a lot of things could give this week. I'm going to take the over, and I think each and every game this week.
Well, yeah, and the over on the time as well, because there'll be some pitching changes. Dave, just on the Baltimore Washington baseball wars, I mean, give your background. I mean, you always talk about waiting tables back in the day and all that, being a fan, and you're from my wife's hometown in Manchester, New Hampshire, and that part of the world. But like, you've been here a quarter of a century, doing most of this professionally, watching the birth of the Nationals, watching the birth of Nat Masson, watching Angelos, Lerner, the teams, a parade in Washington, not really a parade because they won sort of in a weird time, but nonetheless, the whole notion of baseball in this corridor, I say Peter Angelos lied to me about virtually everything. He told me a lot of lies. He lied to a lot of people.
Didn't he tell you it was Tuesday when it was a Thursday once too?
Well, yeah,
Just
I
to
mean, he's one of those kind of cats. But the one thing that I go back and I try to find, I'm Baltimore positive, so I'm trying to find the truths here. He did say, we don't believe there should be a team in Washington because if there's a team in Washington, it'll split the markets and neither one of them will have any money to be any good. That feels like a prophecy, 30 years later in the way that baseball doesn't share revenue and the way that it probably should in so many ways. But there is a point with this where, like, Washington had a parade and had a sort of a glory era and could have had a couple of them. The Orioles have had a couple of blips here. But it does become exceedingly hard when your best players are playing in Philadelphia and New York now. After all of this and the parade and all that, you've got an owner that doesn't feel fully committed. You don't know what's going on, the television network, all of that. Both of these franchises are a little bit wayward after having whatever the prosperity was that has led to whatever prosperity you'd say they've had in 21 years together, right?
Well, and I think the disappointment too for the Nationals is the fact that they didn't make any major free agent splashes this offseason. And maybe they tried to and they weren't able to. I think a lot of people thought that they were going to make a Jason Worth-like move, who, no, he didn't win any MVP awards in Washington, but he let the world know that, you know what, the Nationals are ready to contend. They're ready to add pieces. And they did over the next few seasons. Max Scherzer, perhaps, in my opinion, the best free agency move ever. And I think the only one that rivals it, maybe Reggie Jackson, way back when in the 70s, as far as personal production and team success. But since the pandemic, they really have been players. And I think a lot of people thought that this would be the year that they would do so. If you look at their bullpen, it looks like they ran through the old, and we're dating ourselves here, going to the grocery store and going through the old VHS or DVD rummage bin. You're like, oh, no way, Weekend at Bernie's 4. Ooh, oh, well, hey, it's only 99 cents. I'll get it. And you find that sometimes Mike Rizzo, the general manager in Washington, has been able to get value from guys from the dumpster. But sometimes you get bad apples from the dumpster, and they're not bad guys necessarily. They're just not productive ones. So you look at the bullpen right now, that's disappointing for the Nats. And even though there's a nice young crew, I like the young nucleus. James Wood is a heck of a ball player. The pitching, Mackenzie Gore currently leads the majors in strikeouts. Dylan Cruz finally turned the corner this past weekend, hitting a couple of home runs. He's been hitting the ball strong and solid and straight away, but guys have just been catching him. I think there are possibilities for this Nationals team, but I think until they enter a month solidly over 500, I don't think the fan base has cause to believe in them.
Dave Preston is our guest. He is at WTOP. You can find them on the radio dial down in the district. The Orioles taking on the Nationals for a couple of days here. You mentioned your own woes down there and an attitude, but you sign a 41-year-old pitcher. I don't know what you think the upside's going to be. We're waiting on Kyle Gibson to come back now. I don't know what you expect the upside of that to be. The injury part of this and the Tommy John part, and I don't need to talk. I'm talking to a guy who had Steve Strasburg on the front, right? So even when you think you have it, it evaporates very, very quickly. Ask ask the Yankees on what they've spent on Gerrit Cole. So for me, I don't know what the answer is, but I know what good pitching and bad pitching, I know the value of that. And I know the Orioles right now can have all the blooming of Adley Rutschman and Jordan Westberg, and Holiday can come into his own, and Henderson could be an MVP, but they could lose 10-8 every night.
Well, I think if you add the staffs together, if you put the Nationals starters with the Orioles relievers, you might actually have a good pitching staff if you cobble that together. And that's unfortunate because in today's day and age, you don't expect your starters to go more than five, six innings. So you do need quality heat from the bullpen. And even though the Nats have a couple of guys, I look at Kyle Finnegan, who was an all-star last year. Learned he was an all-star while in line at one of the rides at Hershey Park. Hershey Park, happy indeed. But thing is, you got to get to your closer. And they don't have the necessary pieces to get to the closer consistency, to get to your A bullpen, your back end, your eighth and ninth inning guys consistently. That's going to hurt them in the long run when you look at the season. But as someone who covers this Nationals team, I'm impressed with the starters. And you can't say enough what Jake Irvin came off two really solid outings that if he doesn't pitch as well as he does, they get swept in Pittsburgh, they lose a series in Colorado. That's a huge cog to their rotation. I think a lot of people thought of Jake Irvin as a fourth or a fifth starter on most good teams. And maybe that's where he winds up settling because everybody finds their own water level. But I think when you look at what the Nationals look to do this season, I think if their rotation continues to hold up, if Mackenzie Gore continues to put together solid outing after solid outing, he's had some good ones and then he's flamed out here and there. If he continues to pitch well, he's a potential front of the rotation ace, and those guys don't come along every day.
Dave, the notion of DC sports, and you've covered it for a couple of decades now at TOP. The hockey team and the basketball team were headed to Virginia. Now they're not. The
Right.
hockey that what's going on with Ovechkin is out. It's unbelievable that it's happened, right? That he would approach this, how old he looks, how good he had to be this year, that he got injured, all of that. I don't know where the shine is on Leonsis one way or another as being the Nationals' next owner or the Monumental Sports Network or any of the media part of that, because once his kid was rude to me, I just 8 years ago, I'm done. So I don't even really follow it other than ambiently. The Wizards are horrific, but
Right.
they are the richest part of Ted's portfolio, right? Like Ted's going to make more money on owning an awful NBA team than he's going to have made in anything in his life, like literally because of the value of those franchises and the way they're going at this point. And the football teams change names, change owners. Magic Johnson's involved. They had this miraculous run last year. They have a quarterback now. And the baseball team has sunk back to sort of, like my dad would say, Washington will never support a team. It lost the
Yeah.
Senators twice, where it's just sort of like even the soccer team has juice there. Dave Johnson, my dear friend,
Right.
I see his work there with the Audi thing they're doing. I just it's now a mature sports town in a way. When you founded Waiting Tables, there was no like thought about a baseball team, like it might not happen 20, 25 years ago. It's all happened. Soccer's happened. All the Trump's gotten elected twice in your town. So I look at it and I say that as a sports community and how much the market can bear for Maryland sports and Navy and what my friends at Coppin and Morgan and Towson are trying to do up here. Man, it is really we're saturated with sports here to some degree. And this whole thing with the Commanders and the Ravens and both having these young, great
Right.
African American quarterbacks. It's an alive time, but winning's still at a premium. It ain't nobody really winning.
And of course, we're missing the big ship right there by not mentioning the Washington Capitals, a world team tennis dynasty. Mark Ein will tell you they won. Like, I don't know how many games in a row or
Oh,
matches
I've
or
never
whatever they
heard of
want to
them.
call it.
Tell me about I don't.
Washington Capitals, World Team Tennis. Oh my goodness.
I
We heard
have
quite a
a
bit about them, yeah.
Baltimore Banners jacket
Okay. Oh,
that
that's
I
nice.
got through
Is
Phil
it
Jackman.
satin?
It is polyester, my man.
I
It
like
looks
it.
like, I swear to God, if you think of what Evel Knievel wore, it looks just like it's 1972, 73.
Yeah.
Baltimore Banners, baby, Jimmy Connor,
Funny.
let's
Yeah.
go.
Well, and we're talking about banners, and I think you mentioned the Capitals, Nestor, just and the season that they had, and when you look at years from now, when we look at back at 2025, we're going to look at this as the season where Alex Ovechkin broke Wayne Gretzky's record for career goals. As somebody who grew up following sports, and I don't remember the day that Hank Aaron hit number 715, but that's what this chase felt like down the stretch, or from what I've been told. And what's great about this season for the Capitals is that not only did Alex Ovechkin break the record for goals set by Wayne Gretzky years ago, but they weren't hollow goals. This team is contending. They won the division first time since I think 2021. They're the top seed in the East. They have a chance to win a playoff series and make a deep run in the postseason for the first time since they captured the Stanley Cup back in 2018 with a somewhat old nucleus way back then. And there are a handful of pieces who are still with this team, John Carlson and Tom Wilson and Alex Ovechkin, who are older now, who might have one more run in them. And so I'm curious to see over the next couple of weeks, will they be able to sustain what was a fantastic regular season? Because we, as you know, the regular season and the postseason in the NHL are two completely different animals. And we've seen President's Trophy teams fade in the first round, like the Capitals in 2010, and we've seen eighth place teams advance to the Stanley Cup final. I think the LA Kings did that one year. So, looking forward to what should be a very interesting couple of weeks for the Capitals and, of course, Alex Ovechkin and your good friend, Ted Leonsis.
Yeah, I've seen the Capitals urinate
Yeah.
away a couple of President's Trophies
Right.
through my day. So that never. But by the way, the team tennis thing, I did look the Baltimore Banners up. It was 74
Okay.
that they competed, and I may own literally The only piece of paraphernalia in the history of the Baltimore Banners. I
Okay.
got to tell you, Chris Corman, the sports editor of the Banner, that
Yeah.
broke the Justin Tucker story a few weeks ago. Like, I don't even equate one with the other, but where do the team tennis play? Where do they play in DC?
You know, I don't know. I think they played it in the George Washington University Smith Center. They
Okay.
played somewhere else.
I saw REM there once, by the
Yeah,
way. Yeah.
I never attended a match. But
All right.
Mark Ein, the owner there, he's a part owner of the Commanders. He sent us a ton of paraphernalia, a plaque that said that when they had this long winning streak that was only a handful shy of the Lakers, 33 game winning streak way back when, equating the NBA with World Team Tennis. But so we joke around and say, you know what? You should have seen the Washington Castles, because you know what? Very few people saw the Washington Castles.
Very few people saw the Baltimore Banners, but I know Phil Jackman did, and I have a jacket. And I'm thinking if Jimmy Connors might actually worn it, by the way. Dave Preston is here. Last thing for you, dude. So you're going to do a little James Bond thing, and you always want to do a little pop culture. So I'll just let you know. You know, I'm Curio sponsored, so I'm fully on the up and up with all this. Sunday was not only a day the Orioles lost 24-2 in a baseball game. It's not a punchline. It was 4:20, right? It was 4:20. I don't know if you know if that.
I
So.
know what that
At
means.
4:20 on 4:20, Cheech and Chong released their last movie, right? So my wife and I bought tickets. We went over to White Marsh. We had a cocktail, and we went in and we watched Cheech and Chong. And on the way in, I said to my wife, "I bet there's going to be a big thing about Lou Adler in this." And she's like, "Who's Lou Adler?" I'm like, "Ha, Lou Adler. Lou Adler was rock and roll." And I told her a little bit about Lou Adler before we went in, and I said, Lou Adler was married to Britt Eklund
Oh yeah.
after Rod Stewart and before
Peter
Slim Jim
Sellers was in that
Phantom.
mix too,
Peter
yeah.
Sellers was in that
Yeah.
mix. So there you go. So there was a whole James Bond reference on my way to see a Cheech and Chong movie. And I thought of you, and it's the root and the essence. And I looked up and said, Orioles Nationals. I'm calling Preston. What do you got on the
Oh.
James Bond front for me? Can you top that story?
Okay, well, Amazon right now, you know how Amazon has taken things over. So we're trying to figure out what are they going to do? Are they going to release movies like the Eon series production crew did? Are they going to do what they've done with Star Wars, where you've got origin stories and spin-offs of
Oh, no,
different
Amazon
characters
owns
and stuff like
James
that?
Bond?
Yeah, oh yeah. A couple months ago, yeah. They bought out Barbara Broccoli and Michael G. Wilson, the stepson and the daughter of Cubby Broccoli. So yeah,
Is
so
money
it's a
Moneypenny aware of this?
oh I'm sure she knows. I'm
Okay.
sure Moneypenny has cashed out. She's gotten herself a golden
Was
parachute,
Q in on
as have many
this?
of the others.
Is this
All
one of
right.
Q's workings?
I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be
Okay.
surprised at all. But it's so right now we're wondering when are they going to release the next film, because it's been roughly what, 5 years? 4 or 5 years since they have last released a James Bond movie. And this is a series where you can. I'm not saying you need one every year or every other year, but every third year, give us an installment. And then if you want to do like a Felix Leiter origin series or something like that, that's quality. I'm thinking like Andor, that's gotten really good buzz. Do that.
They lost me with the Halle Berry movie. That was the last one for me.
Yeah,
I was
okay.
out, you
You
know.
know, I wish they had done a spinoff with Jinx. I like Jinx. Although that movie was rather ridiculous. Die Another Day, you had the invisible car, you had Bond windsurfing and stupid stuff like that. One of the other podcasts I do, Bond James Bond Ranked. It's on wherever you find your podcasts. We rank each of the James Bond movies based on 10 categories: the Bond actor, the Bond girl, the villain, the minor henchman, slash well, the minor villain slash henchman, the allies, the pre-credit sequence, the song, the
The
plot,
song, yeah.
gadget vehicles, and then the locations and look of the film. This
We
guy Brian
lost
Forst.
Lulu late recently, and I, you know, there was a whole
Yeah.
tribute to Lulu as well. Dave Preston is here. He's got to go because he does radio. He's at
Yes.
WTOP. The Orioles are getting together with the Nationals. The Capitals are playing, and you and I are going to go see a James Bond movie. Miss
Sounds
you,
like a
bro.
winner, sir. Yeah, let's pick out two good ones. Yes, exactly. You know,
You're
the
listening.
only
Go ahead.
what?
You got to
You
go.
know, I do. You know, the only Bond to do the gun barrel thing on his knee was George Lazenby, and in that movie, Bond gets married.
He
You don't
mistreated
know.
Pam Shriver. So to
I heard about
Lazenby,
that.
listen,
I heard
boom,
that
is
he's
what
not
I
a good
say to him.
dude. Heard he
See,
wasn't a good guy. He was a decent Bond, but he wasn't a good guy,
we are
sadly.
WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and I would say good night to all of my Britt Eklund fans.
Oh.